Coming up next, the new Newcastle. In the two main streets of Newcastle, there are now more than 150 vacant buildings. Renew Newcastle is an initiative to rejuvenate the centre of town, not by throwing millions of dollars at it, but by finding creative short- and medium-term uses for vacant shops and offices, allowing community groups and cultural projects to move into otherwise wasted space. This urban renewal project, which has no government funding, is being driven on the smell of an oily rag by a group of energetic young Novocastrians. Shortly, we'll hear from one of the creative minds involved in transforming one empty shopfront into an exciting architectural experimental space. First, Renew Newcastle's founder, Marcus Westbury, joins me. Marcus, welcome.
Hi.
Marcus, take us for a drive down Newcastle's two main streets, Hunter and King, and tell us what we'd see now from the car window.
Well, Newcastle's probably unique for an Australian city in that the centre of the city isn't really the centre. It's actually, it's sort of an accident of history that what is called the CBD is really just a long peninsula, and the two main streets are these very long, thin main streets, and their origins as a long retail strip are from the era of trams and trains when everyone took public transport into town. So you have two or three kilometres of buildings where there has been a long, slow, gradual process of decay. There is block after block and street after street where there are empty buildings sitting there. Some parts of it are beautiful. There's some nice new buildings. There's particularly the closer you get to the harbour or the beach on each other side. It's a peninsula that's surrounded by water. There's a lot of new development, but there's this hollowed out core of old buildings that are disused and awaiting redevelopment.
So we're talking about places that have been shut, some of them, for 10 or even 20 years. What's led to the demise of the main streets?
It's a combination of factors. Part of it is basically just change. You know, Newcastle obviously has not been through the same economic boom times that have affected some other CBDs, have led to a lot of renewal and change for better and for worse. Newcastle, a big part of it is that long retail strip is designed for an era of public transport, not an era of cars. So there's this fortress of suburban shopping centres you need to pass by to get into the centre of the city. So people don't tend to go into the city to shop anymore. And then there has been, along the way, there's been some sort of major catastrophic events, like the Newcastle earthquake of 1989, which led to a lot of buildings. The city centre itself was closed off for nearly 3 weeks, you know, and what came from that was a lot of buildings that and places that had been viable. That was enough to tip them over. Some of them closed down, some of them were rebuilt, but some of them never reopened again.
The first seven properties that have been reoccupied as part of Renew Newcastle are located in the Hunter Street Mall. Now, this is a mall which hasn't worked for many years, and it's soon to be redeveloped. So how hard was it negotiating with the landlords?
Well, we were lucky. One company, GPT, own a lot of the buildings around that area for a planned redevelopment that's due to take place next year or the year after. So they were able to provide us with access to their buildings. And I guess the way they see it is that it's in their interest to have that part of town become an interesting place and remain an interesting place and be a place where people want to go to. So they provided us with access to their buildings that are sitting empty awaiting this redevelopment. And obviously there's a catch-22 at the moment, because with a major redevelopment due to go ahead next year or the year after, it's impossible to get a long-term lease on a lot of those buildings anyway, because they're slated to be either demolished or redeveloped or part of this development coming up. So essentially what we've done is just negotiate with the property owners short-term access for a range of creative projects at basically a nominal cost, so that those spaces can be activated, so that projects can be nurtured in them, and so that the city can have some life and activity to it.
Well, at this point, I'd like to welcome Kim Bridgeland, an architect who studied in Newcastle and is now involved with an architectural experimental space being housed in a disused shop in that Hunter Street Mall. It's a place designed to challenge our ideas about the built environment. Kim, if I dropped in today, I'd see a project called Hunting Grounds, wouldn't I?
That's right. Hi, Alan. When Marcus set up, or the Renew Newcastle initiative kind of arose, a group of students from the University of Newcastle got together. I kind of got a few people and we jumped up and down and figured this is a great opportunity to really have a go at some of these ideas we've been learning about. And try and challenge other people's perceived conceptions of what architecture is.
And what exactly does it look like? What's it like being in hunting grounds or looking at hunting grounds?
Absolutely. We've cut up a lot of construction-sized timber, like 95 by 40 timber, and kind of almost poured it into the space, filling it wall-to-wall to make it act like a liquid or a rolling hill or a broiling sea that everyone comes in and experiences and walks on.
And sound is an important element here, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's a strong haptic experiential, you know, immersive quality about the room. And when you walk on the timber, they're all fixed, and they're all secure into each other, but they're unfixed. So they shuffle slightly and click-clack on the tile floor, which is quite live acoustically. And there's a wonderful subtle sound every time someone takes a footstep in the room.
Well, okay, well, let's have a listen to what you might hear underfoot as you walk across Kim's floor. Well, Kim, I'm not sure if I'd want to be living in an apartment underneath someone with this floor installed, but it does remind us, I mean, as you've said, it does remind us, doesn't it, that architecture can play on our sense of hearing if we allow that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of senses that we're really trying to explore with this. Something that's really important to me, especially about architecture, is the way we experience our spaces and then, you know, how we understand ourselves within those environments. And so one of the key things we want to play with in these installations is getting rid of the function, I guess, of a typical function of architecture and just exploring the pure experience of it.
What other sort of experiences can a place like this offer, can be explored in a place like this?
I think there's a lot to offer. We're trying to get the different sensations of smell and touch and sound, obviously, but just question sometimes the role of architecture. Instead of purely having architecture seen as new buildings quite lavishly spent upon, we like to kind of play with the human element, the way we feel and memorize these places.
Marcus, what other types of projects are happening here as part of Renew Newcastle?
There's a range of projects. I mean, we did a very wide call to the public and asked for proposals, and so far we've placed about 12 people in 6 spaces. So it covers everything from there's a publishing house full of graphic designers, small publishers and others that are sharing what used to be an optometrist surgery. There's a gallery that's next door to the space that Kim and his colleagues are using that is a sound and digital media gallery featuring, you know, sound works and a range of artist studios. There's also a photography gallery. There's some craft-related spaces. And the next group of projects, we're hoping to get a little bit more ambitious and start to look at performance spaces and other uses of these buildings that can, you know, bring some life back.
And do any of them, apart from bringing life back, do any of them have commercial futures? I mean, they're all being run on a not-for-profit basis at the moment.
Not necessarily. So the projects aren't all not-for-profit. They're mostly embryonic creative enterprises in some cases. So, for example, the graphic design and publishing little hub that we've set up, there's a mix of profit and not-for-profit projects in that. We'd ultimately hope that one of the things that will come from this is that we'll actually nurture viable businesses that will be able to rent spaces in the CBD when the opportunity to have a temporary subsidised space goes on. So some of them will have a life of their own, some of them will may go on to found long-term projects, and some of them will eventually die.
And very briefly, as I said in my introduction, Renew Newcastle hasn't been able to attract government funding, has it?
We are confident in the not-too-distant future we will, but to date we've largely done it basically on... It's almost a barter system, basically. We've managed to barter our time, our resources and our energy. We've had everything from pro bono lawyers through to property owners donating their properties and various others being involved. So as an urban renewal scheme, relative to a lot of others, it's pretty cheap.
Okay, well, in that case, I'll have done this pro bono. I won't ask you to slip me a check at the end of the program. Marcus Westbury from Renew Newcastle and Kim Bridgeland, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks.
You're with By Design on ABC Radio National, abc.net.au/rn.